The only drug I want to talk about is the art of music. That is what I want to talk about. For those of you unfamiliar with Scott here, he's a comedian. You're a comedian, yes?
Yes, I'm. Sure. I do stand up in my spare time. You know, I don't want to.
What is your main preoccupation?
You know this already. This is for the folks at home. I'm a classical orchestral trumpet player.
Okay.
My job. Yeah.
How long have you been trumpeting?
I actually started on the trumpet pretty late. I think like I was 12 or 13 or something like that. Mm-hmm. I started with music a lot earlier. I had like piano lessons since I was about 4, I think.
Okay.
But I was shit at piano and I hated it. But it's kind of the normal thing that everybody starts on, I guess, for music.
Whose idea is it to like put you into piano? So you're, you know, for those of you that are not familiar, Scott is from Canada, yeah?
I'm from Canada.
Where in Canada?
Toronto.
Toronto, okay. Yeah. The Six, as they call it.
No. Only Drake and people who like Drake call it that. And we're not, don't call it this, don't call it the Six. Am I looking into the camera? Yeah. Don't call it that. It makes you a fucking douchebag. Fuck Drake. Fuck people who like Drake. Let's move on. Sorry.
That's fine. This is a non-Drake podcast. Non-Drake space. So your mom was like, let's get him into piano, or how does that happen?
The romanticized version of the story that I was told when I was older was that, because both of my parents have no idea about music whatsoever, I don't think they wanted necessarily to get their kids into it, but apparently what it was that I was, when I was like a small child, really liked, like they said, I would like sit in front of the tape player and like listen to music all the time. I would just like sit and listen to music, and they were like, okay, well, if he seems to be really into music, so let's get him in music lessons. And that's how it started. That's what I've been told.
Gotcha. So you're just like being weird, dozing into space?
Like, yes, exactly. Which I still do now, I guess, but I...
The drugs help with that.
No.
Just the paracetamol. So basically you started doing piano. They were like, okay, let's get him to a piano class here in Toronto.
Yeah.
And then you were like, this is no piano for me.
Well, I still did it for a while. I think I did it till I was about 14. There were times when I wanted to quit because I didn't really like it, but it's a very good foundation to have for whatever else you want to get into musically. It's a good base to have, even if it's not really, like it was for me, not really my thing. And I did a lot of, like I also did when I was a child, I did a lot of like children's choirs, like a lot of singing, like at a very serious kind of level, which I like better, but was still never really I never got into like private vocal lessons or anything serious like that. And then once you start playing instruments, like wind instruments or something in school, then you can kind of see, I played clarinet for a little bit, and then at some point I started trying trumpet, and then it was kind of, as soon as I started, it was kind of like, oh, I think this makes sense. Like, okay. It was easier for me. It just fits more quickly. There was like some kind of a physical affinity. That sounds sexual now, but it's not.
The trumpet's
not sexual. But it's, but it just, it clicked better, and then it was like, okay, so this is probably what I should focus on, and then I started focusing on that.
Yeah. So you now you're making a living as a trumpet player, yeah?
Yeah, I have a full-time job. Yeah.
How easy is it to do that, or how complex is it?
Complex is it's extremely difficult. It depends a lot on. There's a big difference between, like, because a lot of people make a living in music doing freelancing, which if you're doing freelancing, a lot of what you're going to be doing is teaching, and teaching younger people, which I've done before, like when I was in school, and can be rewarding at times, but mostly, at least for me personally, is like fucking pulling teeth. Like, it's really like
a living hell.
Yeah, basically, if you have to do it every week, and you have to do it every day, or like a few days a week, like during my master's that I was doing in Germany, I spent a couple of years where like 2 days a week, I would teach 4 to 5 hours a day, and that's like each kid with like a half hour lesson.
Right.
And just getting through a day of that was just so draining. Like for like the couple like little nice moments where like a kid, you know, learns something or is happy about something, and you're like, oh, that's so nice. For all of that, there's like hours and hours of just like shit getting dumped on your head in terms of how you, like, it's maybe me personally as
right,
well.
Right. Not the affinity for like the teaching.
No, I like doing teaching. It was with people who are actually advanced and are serious about it. Like doing that work is interesting to me. But like the spending time with like kids who hate being there and trying to, you know, that's not really. So I'm trying to make it fun.
So are you actually working at the moment if there's like no COVID with the COVID situation?
Very, very little. I'm very lucky that my job is my orchestra. It's a government job, so we're like basically as safe as you can be with COVID. So we've had. I actually just yesterday we played a. It was a concert. It wasn't just my orchestra. It was like an amalgamated orchestra with people from all the different orchestras in Brandenburg in the States, and we did like. A program, it's all just Christmas songs and stuff like different guest singers, and it was all, we had to like all in the same day rehearse and video record everything, and then it's going to get cut together and put on YouTube like today or something, so German people can watch a Christmas concert. But then like we all had to get a COVID test the day before, always have to follow strict rules, and other than that all we were really doing was like if there were some official government events, because that's something we do a lot, but not with full orchestra, just with like small groups, like five people or something.
Yeah. It's very interesting, because like, obviously with like, you know, the government-sponsored orchestras, like you don't really come across that. I mean, especially let's say in Eastern Europe or Romania, that doesn't, usually it's not something that the government puts a priority on, right? Like the classical arts.
It's definitely a very... it's a big part of the culture in Germany. Like that's Germany is really like the cradle of life or whatever for like the orchestra and orchestral music is really where it comes from, and where there are by far the most orchestras, the most education for orchestras. That's why, I mean, that's why I came here in the first place, and that's why people come here from all over the world to study. Just because the quality is the highest here, and then also the opportunities are, there are the most opportunities. There's also the most competition because everyone comes here.
Right.
If you can get to the right level, then you can actually find a job. Like in Canada, you can get as good as you want. There are so few jobs that it's basically... and some element of jobs is always random or subjective. So that makes it difficult as well. So you can be good enough for a job in Canada and work your ass off your whole life and still never get a job, and then like be a freelancer living month to month with no security until you're, you know, in the grave basically. So that's not much of a life.
And as a trumpet freelancer, what exactly do you do? Do you write scores for other people, or do you just somebody goes like, I need a trumpeteer at 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Well, yeah, but mostly it would be for like various different kinds of gigs with different groups. There can be like studio work, there can be live performance things. A lot of the stuff, and a lot of it is teaching, because teaching is something where it's a regular thing, and like you can charge pretty well for it. Like when I was doing teaching, I would ask for like, I don't know, 40 euros an hour or something like that, because if you're qualified, then that's kind of a normal thing.
Right.
So it's still well paid for the time, but if you can, it's hard to get, you know, 40 hours of teaching a week, and also then you'd like fucking blow your brains out probably.
Right. And do you ever like, is there any like path? Because like, you know, my experience with music is I just listen to commercial music on Spotify.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, of course.
Like in that situation, kind of like, can you like do trumpet for a rap video or something, for a rap song, or like a sample, or is that like
probably not. I mean, that would be, I mean, if somebody was recording a if they were recording a rap song or something like that and they wanted to put trumpet on it, then they would hire like a studio musician to just come in and do it. And if you were one of the studio musicians in a certain city, then you would maybe get called to do that.
So what's the difference between a studio musician and someone like yourself, for example? Well, you're an orchestra musician.
I think it's more. Yeah, sure. But any of that stuff, with my training and everything, wouldn't be hard to do. I think it's more just if you get into doing it. Like if you start doing it, and then people know who you are, and you do a good job, then you'll get to do more of it.
Gotcha.
And you need to be in a place where there's a lot of that happening. In North America, like the studio. Like the hub for studio stuff is all in LA, obviously, because that's like music, TV, music production, all of that stuff.
Right.
would all be happening there. But I'm sure, I would imagine, I've never been really involved in like the heavily involved in the freelance world anywhere, mm-hmm. because I didn't really want to. But I imagine it's like horribly competitive,
right?
Like oversaturated, too many people for not enough work.
Right.
And, yeah.
So in this situation now, for example, take us through, before we go into a bit more how to get into the space, take us through a normal day of work for you.
A normal day of work. So
no COVID, no nothing.
Well, there's no COVID. So like the most common day for us is just to have a rehearsal day.
Okay.
And when we have but it varies whether we have a rehearsal day or a performance on that day. Rehearsal day is just, we have rehearsals starting at 9, have to be there by 8:30. And then we go until 1-ish. And then that's it. That's a whole work day.
Okay.
And that counts as like an 8-hour work day, which is nice. But then when we have performance day, so the performance can be many different types of things. It's really, my orchestra is really different from a regular orchestra, a symphony orchestra or like a theater opera orchestra. They'll normally play all the time in the same place, in the same hall, and do the same thing.
They're like, they have like, what do you call it? You know how like those university teachers have tenure?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean more like about the physical location. Like they're just always in the same spot. They go rehearse at the hall. They do performances in the same hall every week, and that's it.
Right.
And what we do is much more of a, because, so it's not in Berlin. I live in Berlin, but it's mostly based out of Potsdam, and it serves like the Brandenburg state government.
Right.
So we have to do things that are public service related some way or another. And it's all over the state. So we do, for example, we do a lot of school concerts that are like educational school concerts. So we go to schools. Sometimes they're in or around Berlin. Sometimes they're in Potsdam. A lot of the time they can be like a 3-hour drive out or something like that. And then, you know, I have to get up at like 6 in the morning and sit on the bus all day.
And how big is the orchestra? Nice. Like, for example, you're all going there, all of you guys?
Yeah, like 45 people
45
or something.
People?
Yeah, yeah. So it's
like an actual bus.
Oh, yeah. Well, people don't always all get on the same bus. Like, I'll drive with people who live in Berlin a lot of the time, but something. But yeah, so we do like a lot of school concerts. We do a lot of concerts for seniors.
Okay.
Like educational stuff for seniors to not get scammed, stuff like that. And so that they also have a fun day. Yeah.
And then how do you mean so they don't get scammed? Like, who's scamming them?
Oh, like people, like con artists who try and like get seniors to like give them money for free, or like call seniors and be like, oh, it's me, your grandson. I need 5,000 euros cash right now, you know, because apparently, you know, old people are stupid, right?
So okay. So then what happens? So you go there and you do a concert to raise awareness.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. And it's doing it in like, it's a fun way for the old people. Like somebody talks in between the stuff that we play and stuff like that. So do things like that. We do a lot of political events, government events. We play at like local village celebrations a lot of the time. Like if they'll have something like this little German village is having their official 500 years since the founding celebration or whatever, and then we have to go and play traditional German music for them while they drink beer and eat hot dogs. Well, not hot sausages, whatever the fuck. And stuff like that. And then there are also, amid that, like there are concerts where it's like in a concert hall and there's a program and we actually, and those are the most fun where it feels like a concert. So, but they could be anywhere in the state. They could be any, we have to go to Poland sometimes. They could be at any time of day. So sometimes we have really easy work days, like where we just have to be there 8:30 to 1 and then you're down and out of there. And then sometimes they can be really long with travel.
But again, like, so basically you're kind of not a bounty hunter, but you're like a on-demand orchestra.
Pretty much, like wherever, I don't know who has to talk to who in order to get us sent somewhere, but like however that works out, like for the government, then like pretty much wherever it is deemed appropriate for us to do that, then that's good. And for us, it's good. The more that we do is better, because then it looks like we're useful, and then they're not going to take away
the
our money.
Exactly. So somebody makes a call. I need to talk to a guy about an orchestra. I need an orchestra.
I think they know about hour about this because it was like, oh, this would be, it would be great if we could have them there for that or something.
So does this happen anywhere else in the world?
I really don't know. Like, it seems to be a specific thing in Germany because it's some, I guess in other parts of the world they have like military orchestras, right. But that's not really what this is. And there are also military musicians in Germany. In some ways, it's kind of like that, but not really, because it's different. But it's no, as far as I know, it's unique to here. But that's one of the reasons what I was saying. There's a lot more work here.
You know? Right. Like the German culture is very orchestra oriented. Because I know
they like orchestras. Yeah.
they're fans of marching. Maybe that's where it comes from.
So, be part of it.
So what about the, because I also know like one thing that has happened to me here in Berlin is I have never in my life ever met so many opera singers.
Oh yeah, there's probably a ton of singers here too. Yeah, they're like, fucking crazy though. Don't get too close. Don't date a singer, by the way. It's easy to get sucked in, and then that's great. I know you're not supposed to call women crazy anymore, and I understand why. And I just let me look into the camera. I'm not misogynistic, but opera singers are fucking crazy.
They're not women. They're opera singers.
The men are crazy too.
So I feel like we just zoomed over the you'll get sucked in comment.
Yeah.
A lot of sucking power. Okay, interesting. And this is because again, like Germany subsidizes opera houses. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they're massive. Yeah, they're massive. Yeah. No, and that's one thing that's nice about my job is that like on the one hand, from the music aspect, my job is not as much fun because we don't play like pure concerts very often.
Right.
It's always kind of functional.
Right.
But then it would be considered kind of like more legitimate classical music or like more prestigious to play in like an opera orchestra. But the thing is, most of the opera orchestras are in like smaller cities.
Right.
You don't have a large, the opera houses don't have a large budget or anything. So they're putting on smaller scale productions, which means they're doing the same few like Mozart operas over and over and over again.
Right.
So it's stuff that's like people are familiar with, and that people know, and you'll do a production like maybe you'll play an opera like 40 times over 2 months or something when it's on.
So that's
worse for me.
Right. So what's the, like for example, all the scores that you guys play, all the songs, are these like, basically, ooh, you have to learn them before, or are you the kind of guy that reads the sheets, the music sheets?
Usually, it really depends on the circumstances. Usually, in most cases, you would get, it really varies from situation to situation. Usually, there will be at least some aspect of preparation that you're able to do. Just look at it and make sure, like, okay, if there's going to be anything that's trouble. But like, for example, the thing I was talking about yesterday, that I played yesterday, mm-hmm. we did... everybody showed up, got the music on the day, and then it was like, okay, so for each piece, then it was like, okay, let's rehearse it once. So mm-hmm. play it through once, and everyone's reading.
Right.
And then, cool, and now we're recording it straight away. It was pretty simple stuff, like Christmas songs, but still, that can sometimes be normal, where the preparation is like minimal, and if you're a professional, though, you're ready for a situation like that, and you do your best with it. But then if it's something more complicated, then maybe you need more time to prepare, but it really depends on the situation.
So within this orchestra of 45 people, can the show go on? How many people can miss out on the performance? Like, do you need 45 people all the time, or...?
I think usually it's pretty, I mean, it depends if there are certain parts that are doubled or not. It depends if like what we're playing, because everything maybe calls for a different amount of parts, who has to play what. But usually, if it's full orchestra repertoire, then usually you need the full orchestra pretty much. Yeah.
And is there one particular instrument in the orchestra that is like, I don't know, maybe above all the other instruments, or is there like a superstar of the orchestra?
Superstar.
Is there like orchestra. Is it like completely a team sport, or is there like a diva situation?
I guess there's some. I mean, so my orchestra is actually, so it's a wind orchestra, so it's without strings. It's just winds and brass. And Well, I'm maybe the most important in the orchestra because I play first trumpet, and playing first trumpet in a wind orchestra is very important because in symphony orchestra, when you have strings there, the like trumpets, like brass, you spend a lot of time like waiting. You only play in like the loud parts, and then you sit around while the strings play a lot of the time. But in wind orchestra, then you have to play all the time because there aren't strings there. So that can be very important. And first horn is really important. Percussion is really important too, obviously. Anybody who is like sitting at like who's like the first player for the section means that you'll have to do like soloistic things more often.
Right.
Like that. So yeah.
Okay, interesting. A lot of that stuff I think kind of went a bit over my head because I don't know what the brass, the strings. I mean, basically, there's no people with there's no violins.
Yeah, there's no like violins and cellos.
No cellos. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So just trumpets, horns.
Trumpets, horns, trombones, tuba, clarinet, flutes, oboe, bassoon, percussion.
Legit.
And then we have like other, like we have like, a bass player. We have a proper rhythm section for when we do things that are more like in a jazz or pop direction, because we have to do stuff like
so,
that.
So, okay, so you mentioned this is a wind orchestra, yeah?
Yeah.
What other type of orchestras are there?
I guess most like normally what you would call just a regular orchestra would just be based what I just described, but then also with strings.
Right. Yeah, okay.
And there can be different sizes of that. Like there can be like a full, like if you went to see the like the Berlin Philharmonic and they were playing a really large scale work, like they're playing like a big symphony, like a Mahler symphony or something like that, there could be like 120 people on stage if they really everybody's there and they've really filled up, because some pieces call for a lot of players on each instrument, so a lot of different parts. Then like a chamber orchestra could be like 20 people and just strings, and that works for different kinds of works, for like earlier stuff, Mozart or Haydn or earlier romantic stuff. But then kind of the later you get, the more modern you get, then usually it's more common that the orchestra that's called for specific works is larger and requires more people.
Is most of the music that you guys play of German origin?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Maybe that's why
a lot of it is probably. I mean, but we don't do too much pure classical work. Like if I was playing in a purely classical symphony orchestra or an opera orchestra, then more of it would be German origin or like German, like small g German, like including like Austrian or whatever. Because a lot of that stuff in classical tradition comes out of Vienna as well, but. But that's a big reason why that orchestra culture is a big thing.
So yeah, that's now it's kind of
major composers are somehow German or Germanic.
Now that's coming together. Yeah, there's not a lot of that's why the culture, because it's been around so long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because it a lot of it originates from here or around here or German speaking places. Yeah.
And what usually when you tell people you're a trumpet player, what's kind of like the reaction? They're like, huh.
It's usually that, like people think it's like interesting or impressive, which is strange because I don't find it that at all, but that's because I'm used to doing it.
You don't find it interesting or impressive?
Neither. Well, but I'm used to doing it. Like, right. I'm just like, no, this is just what's normal. But I guess, especially in Berlin, when you meet people, everybody is like, you're like, oh, what do you do? It's like Zalando. Well, you know from crowd work.
Yeah,
what do you do? And everyone's like, have you ever had anyone say they're a musician doing crowd work?
I mean, a lot of times they're like a DJ.
Yeah, that's not a musician. That's very much not a musician.
Yeah, okay, yeah, let's get into that.
I respect DJs. That's not being a musician.
It's okay. So, for me, it's just this is getting into music, I think, is in Eastern European culture. Romanian culture is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Absolutely, yeah, of course.
There's like, what the fuck? Like,
well, and it's even harder. It's very difficult anywhere to make a living off of it, but in poorer countries, it's impossible.
Exactly,
and you'll make like nothing.
And a lot of times, like, for example, you will see people like old men or women like just playing like a violin or like something in the metro.
Yeah,
and it's like beautiful, but they're like obviously like busking.
They're probably terrible though, honestly.
Like, really?
To be a bit of a dick about it, but probably. But also, if you're staying in,
you heard it here first, guys. Hobos and violin suck.
I hate homeless people.
But do you when you were going to school, was there, because like in my understanding of like the musical arts, the, you know, the common stereotype is that Asian families,
yes,
would be more inclined to encourage and you know, strongly suggest, yeah, that their children pick up an instrument.
Yes. Well, that was it. Well, because I grew up in Toronto, mm-hmm, which has like a very, very large Asian population.
Right.
There was, well, I'm trying to think if there's, I guess mostly Chinese. A lot of the kids that I grew up from, I grew up going to school with a lot of kids who are like, I don't know if that counts as second generation or first generation, but where they either were born in Canada or moved to Canada as a baby, and their parents though like grew up in China,
right,
and
okay,
were like, and grew up and moved as adults.
First generation, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I grew up with a lot of kids who were like that. So they were very much used to just being in Canada and being Canadian, but their, right, parents were very much Chinese,
right.
And grew up there, and then they had to like go to like Chinese school one night a week and learn,
right,
speak Mandarin or something like that. But that. What was I supposed to write about music? Yeah,
right.
It was more common. It's a stereotype, but there's like some truth behind it as
true,
well.
Yeah. So
sure.
Were you like the only like kind of white kid there in like a classroom full of
Asian? Oh, no, there were still lots of white kids. There were, right, all kinds of different people who do it and stuff like that. But I don't. I never noticed any actual difference in like Asian children or grown-ups being specifically more successful. It does seem like it's a thing that the parents would be more inclined to like
push them in the direction,
to put them into it as part, right, of either as part of like a means to an end, or just as having a more rounded education,
right,
like getting involved in something arts related. That's,
I mean, a lot of times from my understanding, because you know, I used to live in Japan and like in Singapore for,
oh really, I didn't know that. That's cool.
and then basically a lot of the kids there are basically, even my boss,
yeah,
was Australian.
Uh-huh.
But then his wife was Japanese.
Right.
And then his wife was like very insistent on their kids going to like music school to kind of, you know, learn how to play the piano and stuff.
Yeah.
He was like, I don't understand why I'm paying for this.
I don't know. I think it's more like in, it's more like.
Just come back, get back in the frame. Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Didn't realize.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, I think it's more in like white people, like Western white people, mm-hmm, culture of parenting, that I think my parents say it's like much more like, oh, like we should only, like our children should only be in something if they really love it and it really,
right,
makes,
right,
them happy. You know, like if they're sad at piano lessons, then they shouldn't have piano,
right,
lessons. And it seems to be a bit more of a, as opposed to thinking like, oh, well, this is good for them and so they should do it.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
if,
yeah,
they don't like it, then, well, it'll be good for them later, and,
right,
that's okay.
They don't know what their kids.
Maybe, I don't know.
What was
it's like Tiger Mom style, you know? Like, this is, maybe they don't like it now or something like that, but it's going to be useful for them later. They're,
right,
going to be better people later,
right,
because,
right,
of,
right,
it.
For you, so how many years do you have now under your belt of, like, you know, trumpet? How many years does your trumpet have?
Does my trumpet? Well, I started.
If
I
you
guess
were to put a number on your trumpet.
Wait, the actual physical. I've had different ones my whole life, and
no,
now
like
I just have
you in the trumpet space. You've been.
I guess I'm almost 20 years now, because I'm 31 now, and I guess,
okay,
I started when I was around 12. I guess I started taking it more seriously pretty much right when I started, and then I started studying it when I was 17. And then as soon as you're studying music, it's basically, unless you're not serious about it, in which case you shouldn't be studying it, it's pretty, right, much takes over your entire life. Like, you can't take days off. Like, you can't take one day a week to not practice. Like, then,
right,
you're not being serious. That's ridiculous. So then when you're in school, which I think I was studying for about 10 years before I got a job, which is actually, and I got a job young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got my job, I was 27, which is really, in classical music world for like orchestra, that's young to get a job.
Right.
And then so for all of that time, it's basically, it's your whole life, essentially. It's you. If you're not being obsessed with it, then you're not gonna get good enough to be successful, basically.
Right, right. Like, as with anything.
As with a lot of things, but
it seems,
yeah,
like it's a bit more particular with like something that you need to, like you said, you need to practice every day.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And how many hours a day do you have to practice?
If I'm not doing, like when I was studying, if I didn't have anything else that day, like any ensemble rehearsals or something, then usually would try to do four.
4 hours?
Yeah.
Every day of playing the trumpet?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and other days, if I would do less, it would be if I had like a private lesson or rehearsals. You know, I could have an hour and a half lesson, private lesson with my teacher, a 2 hour orchestra rehearsal, and then practice for like 3 hours or something like that.
Well, that's fun.
It's totally normal. And you have to do it, yeah, like every day for years and years and years. And then maybe you'll get good enough. Probably not, most people. But
that's pretty intense.
The percentage is very low.
Yeah. So you must genuinely enjoy it then.
Yeah, oh, of course. You need to be able to, like, not every, because you need to do it every day, even when you don't feel like it, but still, of course, like, you get with practicing, like, if you're, yeah, like, you need to be able to be enjoying it to a certain degree, or else, like, if it just feels like, if it's painful the whole time, then you won't do it as much as...
Right,
as
so, like, for you at the moment, what's the, is it the sound of the trumpet that, like, has bewitched you? Or is it, like, the feeling of the mastery?
Like
the power.
The power is like, it can be loud. That's fun, you know. And I think it was, for me, like, it's more about music in general, and trumpet was the instrument that worked the best for me. And because it worked the best for me, it was more fun. Like, piano wasn't as much fun for me because it was more physically difficult. I didn't connect with it as easily.
Right.
So when it's not as easy, then it's less fun. With trumpet, it's like, oh, this works well for me, so that makes it more fun to do.
Right. I like doing it.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And where do you practice? Can you just practice at home? Like, if you need to practice so many hours, like, are the neighbors...
Need to do it anymore because I have a full-time job and I play at my job all the time.
Right.
And that's also, since I got the job, I had been, I was in school for 10 years being, like, an obsessive person about it, like everyone is or, like, should be.
Right.
And then when you get a job is kind of when... Unless you want to try and get a better job, which you can, but then you have to practice as a full-time job on top of your full-time job,
right?
Which is horrible. Then you have no life.
So what's the highest job they can get in the industry? Like, you pay for the UN orchestra, or like,
I think there is something like that. I mean, probably it could be debatable, but you would. If it was an orchestra job, I mean, some people you can make it, usually not a trumpet player, but you can make it as like a soloist, which is then you get hired by different orchestras and fly around the world and play solo music and make tons of money, and that's really cool. But that's like really, that's usually like piano and violin and singers.
Right.
But with an orchestra, it would probably be the Berlin Philharmonic right here, actually.
They're
quite possibly. It's debatable to say, you know, best orchestra in the world. It could also be like the Vienna Philharmonic or Concertgebouw, London Symphony, New York Philharmonic, lots of really good ones. But if you had to say one, you would probably say that one. It's probably like the absolute...
The top
on any given day, the one that you would pick. Yeah, so it's cool to be around them and being able to go watch concerts. They're unbelievable. So
right.
Like world superstars, basically, in one thing.
Interesting. And then, like, what kind of person? Like, what's the kind of the audience usually that comes? Like, let's say, even I've never been to a Philharmonica.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of people that have, but I'm assuming there's a specific type of person that goes to it.
Yeah, it's usually a lot of. It's actually, you know what? It's better here than it is in North America because the orchestras are well subsidized, the ticket prices aren't that high, so it's more accessible. In North America, especially in the US, there's no like government money for the arts because it's America. So then they have to charge like exorbitant ticket prices, so then it's just old rich people.
Who are, it's more of a status.
There are still a lot of older people who are into classical music, then it's more mixed, especially there are a lot of music students and people who have studied and therefore like have an appreciation or an interest for it. So it's a bit more mixed, but it's still generally like it's older people.
Yeah. Right.
Older people who have a bit more money or just happen to have that as an interest.
Okay. And then I'm kind of zigzagging a bit around. Yeah. Like, I'm not too familiar with the space. Let's talk a bit more about the schooling. So you did 10 years of trumpet, yeah?
Yeah.
And then was this in Canada, all of it, or?
No, I did a bachelor's and a master's in Canada, and then I did a master's over here, but it was kind of like stretched out over 4 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, in these schools, is there like a particular gender type of you know, what's the gender ratio of like?
The gender ratio.
Yeah. Is it like more girls that get into the orchestra, more guys? Is it even?
Actually, in brass instruments, and especially like there, it's a lot more men than women, and there are also, especially actually over here, especially in Germany, there are like still pretty serious problems with sexism in,
really?
In brass sections. Yeah, with some people who are
sexism
more old-fashioned.
In the brass section.
Absolutely. Yeah. Actually, my. Like a very famous case was, so there's a woman, a trombone player is American, her name is Abby Conan. She was my then girlfriend's professor at the place where we went to school in Germany. So she was an American trombone player, genius, absolutely brilliant, amazing musician. And she won the audition to be the first first trombone in the Munich Philharmonic in like the 80s,
okay.
The early 80s, I think. And when she got the job, then even though the job that she won was supposed to be first trombone, and then basically what happened was the conductor of the orchestra at the time kept assigning her parts like the second trombone part, and she didn't know what was happening, and then went to talk to him, and he just said, oh, well, a woman can't play first trombone.
Really?
He was Romanian, actually.
Really? Yeah. Oh, my God.
And what happened was, instead of what she did, instead of saying, okay, fuck this, I'm going to go to a different orchestra, fuck this guy, she said, no, I'm going to take him to court.
Really?
And took him to court, took the orchestra, and actually, by extension, the city of Munich to court and sued them for saying, I am allowed to play first trombone. That's what I'm supposed to do. Went through like a battery of physical tests to prove that there is no difference, that like a woman is just for like lung capacity and all of these things,
right.
Prove that she's just as capable as a man of being able to do this, and won. And
really?
It was like this landmark moment. Even actually the Berlin Philharmonic here didn't admit any, they admitted a woman in the entire orchestra for the first time. And I think around the same time was a clarinet player, Sabine Meyer, I think was her name. Also, I might be wrong, I think it was the early 80s or the late 70s, because they kind of had a no girls allowed, unofficial policy.
Wow.
And the Vienna Philharmonic had something that lasted even longer. Well, I think they even still like have a similar like unwritten rule about Asian people in the orchestra too.
Really? In the Vienna Philharmonic?
Yeah. I don't know if they started
the drama.
If they changed that later, but oh no, there's tons of shit like that, especially in like the old institutions, like
right,
these
right,
things.
Right.
There's a ton
it's
of
it's very
that
white
stuff.
Male
oh,
dominated.
Yeah, absolutely. And, well, because they think that like it's white male dominated, and they're like, well, that's why it's good, you know?
Right.
That's why we're so good, because we're all German white men.
Right.
And so if we you know, if the purity is tainted, then we won't be good anymore, which is fucking ridiculous, obviously.
Interesting. So does that mean that you do you have like POCs in the orchestras? Not that many, I would assume, yes.
It's absolutely less common. I mean, right. Which is not there. I'm sure there's still discrimination, but
right.
I mean, it's probably more of a product of it's just less of a culturally. It's a very culturally normal thing for white people to do.
Right. So just be assholes.
Yeah.
It comes naturally. So, what would you say the top three countries in the world are for like orchestras? Germany's number one.
Germany for sure.
Is it Austria?
Austria is definitely would be. I mean, they're smaller, but like,
right.
But the quality level is very high. They're great. The UK has really good orchestras. They have horrible conditions for musicians there. Like, you have to work your ass off, and you make no money, which is sad. But they produce really, really high level. Yeah, exactly. They produce because the cost of living there is like fucking off the wall.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But they produce a lot of really good music as well. I mean, the U.S. produces, it's a shitty environment for it, but
right.
They also have really, I mean, there are a lot of orchestras there. They produce fantastic musicians
right.
as well.
So what's the, and then like, so basically you would say Germany, Austria, UK.
Yeah, those are all in there. I don't know how like in terms of quality,
okay.
quantity, this or that.
And what about in terms of composing?
Composers.
What is the relationship between like the orchestra and the composer?
Well, nowadays it's very different because, you know, a lot of the music that would be composed by current, like, living composers now is not the thing that orchestra audiences want to hear,
right,
because
right,
it's very
dubstep,
contemporary
dubstep
music.
Huh? Dubstep trumpet.
No. I mean, it's all very, like, it's very contemporary. It's very, I guess, what people would say, like, very modern,
right,
or whatever.
Right,
it's
right.
It's very obtuse. It's very hard to listen to if you're not used to listening to contemporary classical music. It's what a lot of people would say is, you know, bleeps and squawks and funny noises.
Right,
and they
right.
just say, oh, it just sounds random.
Right.
And audiences don't really like that very much. And because things have been progressing, I mean, like, modernism has been around in all art forms and also in classical music for over 100 years now.
Right.
And still, some people are, it's still too much.
Right.
So people prefer, like, hearing the older, more melodic, easier to digest stuff. So now, I mean, orchestras will still commission pieces from new composers once in a while, but they'll kind of, like, put it at the beginning of the program, be like, okay, here's a short 5 minutes piece, you know.
So would you guys basically be, like, as an orchestra, would you guys be ever commissioned to do stuff for, like, movies? Like, you know, like the most kind of famous one is, like, the Star Wars.
Oh,
theme.
No, we wouldn't do that.
But, like, who would do that then? Is it, like...
Well, the original Star Wars stuff was all done by the London Symphony, which is also why they're so very good. It's a really good orchestra. But
right.
usually that stuff is just done by studio musicians in LA.
Gotcha, okay.
They just still, like, get... It's all hired guns, people who do that stuff all
right.
the time. People who just, like, they can print out, like, anything on the page and just sit down and just, like, nail it first time.
Right. Okay,
take off. Very well paid, that stuff too.
Right.
You have to be a monster, pretty much. So.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other interesting points from the orchestra world that you'd think would be worth sharing?
Jeez.
Like any drama?
Any drama? There's a lot of drama. I think it's funny. Like people in orchestras only, or people in, like, the classical music world seem to, like, almost exclusively only go out with and get married to other musicians, which I was too for a long time.
Really?
And then when I got
it's
out
like
of
elitism.
It, well, no, it's just because those are the people you're around and those are the people who understand your life, basically.
Right, okay.
Because it's hard to explain to people who don't know. You can be like, no, I have to do this every single day. Well, I don't anymore because I have
right,
a job.
Right.
I don't, but still. It's hard to explain, like, if you're
right,
not, like,
right.
in it, and those are just, like, the people that you're around. Once I got out of that, then I was like, oh, I'm not gonna date musicians anymore.
Right, right, not stay within, like, it gets a bit, what's the word?
Incestuous?
Yeah. Are musicians kinky people?
Not really in my experience. I don't know, but, like, classical musicians... I would say a lot of classical musicians are maybe how you would expect them to be, in that they're relatively conservative type. Not like, I don't mean politically conservative,
right, right,
but
right.
they're just like are kind of
not exhibitionists.
Well, exactly. Sure, like in whatever you want to
right.
talk about in the way that they are, and then a lot of them are completely like normal people. But then
okay.
a lot of them are kind of like what you would, you know, like
very stiff kind of like.
Yeah, but then a lot of them are not like that, are totally normal people and cool people, you know, like me, obviously. But a lot are kind of what you would expect stereotypically, yeah.
Interesting. Is there like a place where the orchestra people hang out, just the practice room, or like is there like a cafe?
Actually, a lot of the time at like it would be, there'll be like a cantina, like a cafeteria backstage at whatever the hall or the opera house
right.
is, and you just drink
mingle.
There. There are a lot of alcohol. There's a lot of alcoholism in classical music for
okay.
sure. Like,
because
people just because you just drink after the concert and hang out with other people, and but usually they stick with alcohol mostly.
Yeah. Right. They don't go into the other areas. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm running out of questions. I don't know exactly what else to ask you. Do you have what's the kind of next kind of step for you? Would you say?
I really don't know. Probably the next step for me is probably doing something else for work eventually down
right.
the line, because for me to get another job in music is so fucking, it's so hard. Like no matter, it's so much work to just put yourself in a position. And also because of how difficult it is, you can never really choose where you want to live. You have
right.
to take
what
openings as they come up. And you never know when you're going to get something or not, because for any opening, there are so many qualified people who are going to want it, and you
mm.
have to be really good and then also be really lucky in
right.
the right place at the right time.
What about like YouTube? Are there any like you know, classical musicians, artists that are doing well on YouTube, or is that an avenue that you consider?
Only if they're... if they're already successful, then right. people will watch them on YouTube. But right. you can't, you're not going to be like just a YouTube person. That's one thing that's kind of like good and bad, I guess, about classical music is that it's very, like it's very much like a meritocracy. Like you can't be medium good and get really famous because like it's like no, there's people who are objectively way better than you.
Right.
Like there are like sure there that can be part of it, but like you can't be like an okay level player who wouldn't be good enough to get an orchestra job and then get YouTube famous right. or something like that. That just doesn't exist.
What about like TikTok? You go to TikTok and you start remixing like Wet Ass Pussy by Cardi B on a trumpet.
I don't know. I'm not going to do that because I have some dignity, but maybe somebody... Oh, sure, like if people can... Like whatever anybody can do, if you can do something creative and interesting that people find that people want to watch, then absolutely, sure. Yeah. But it's not really...
It's interesting. It's a very niche skill, right? And it's a...
Yes.
It's a very niche very skill niche, with yeah. very niche applications, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a very kind of... If you want to do that, it's a very... clear path.
Right,
it's like
right,
you
right.
go this way and you do this and you either you make it or you don't. Usually
right.
you don't.
Usually you don't.
And that's no the vast majority. Well I like for example I so the place where I went to school in Canada would be either the best university in Canada for music or maybe in the top, like arguably the best, unarguably in the top two.
Right.
So when I was accepted...
In Canada,
yeah. Okay. When I was accepted for my bachelor's, so the amount of... They accepted 3 trumpet players mm-hmm. for bachelor's that year out of what would have probably been about 30 applicants.
Okay.
So that's already a very low acceptance
right.
rate of people who are getting in.
10%.
And then out of that... I would say probably at any given moment between bachelor students and graduate students, there would have been 15 to 20 trumpet players in that school at any given time.
Right.
I was there for 6 years, so with people coming and going, like maybe there were 40 different trumpet players there in the time I was there.
Right.
Out of all those people who got into like pretty much the best school in Canada with a very low acceptance rate, the amount who are like now currently... making a full-time, like their full-time living with music would be like, okay, so there's me, I have one friend who's playing in the Symphony in Victoria, but that's her, I have another friend who lives here, works as a freelancer, maybe one or two more. I would say maximum like 5 or 6 out of the 40 people there made it as a full-time player out of already a very low acceptance rate just to get into the school.
So like that... Would you say, like, globally,
yeah.
that there are maybe, let's say, what, 10,000 professional trumpet players?
I have no idea how to make that. I have no idea how to make that estimation.
I don't know.
I do the math. Yeah, there are a lot. Like there are people everywhere, but it's.
I mean, because you know, if you let's say you have like how many per country? Let's say you have like 100 per country, 150 more.
It depends on the country, you know,
right.
like there aren't...
Germany would be like, obviously, the...
Germany would be like lots, yeah, there would definitely be the most, but it depends on, it's different everywhere, I guess. There's too many for the amount of work, basically. There are
gotcha.
Too many people who get trained at a professional level for the amount of work there is for those people, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, what can I say? I guess sounds like it's a very niche skill with...
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't do it.
It's a fun hobby. It's a good hobby. It will enrich your life. And if you do it as a hobby, then you do it only when you... That's why I love what I love about stand-up. I do it when I want to do it.
Right.
I don't have to do it when I don't feel like it. Like doing it for fun. But like trying to do it as a career, like you need to really be sure you want to do it. And you'll still almost definitely fail. So.
Right. Okay. Don't get into the trumpet, guys. That is from the horse's mouth, if you will.
Yes.
Have you ever considered bringing the trumpet on stage and doing stand-up?
No.
You don't want to have those worlds mixed.
No, I don't. I haven't thought of any way that it would be useful in or funny in stand-up.
Right.
So I don't really know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, Scott, that's where we can leave it off.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for letting us know, giving us a bit of insight into this very very small yet highly competitive niche.
Yes.
And
incestuous. Don't forget that.
Incestuous is it, exactly. And alcoholism. do you want to plug any platform or anything? Tell people to follow you somewhere?
No, I don't really have. I have Instagram, but that's just for me. I don't
okay.
don't follow me on Instagram.
Okay, so. Well, that's it. No, you can never hear from Scott again. That is the end of it. Thanks a lot, and catch you guys on the next one.
Awesome. Thanks, Dragos.
Hey guys, how's it going? This is Dragos, straight from the stage. Wanted to thank you all for watching this video. If you guys did enjoy the video, please do subscribe, like, and comment. And also watch some of my other videos. I've got a bunch of videos throughout this whole channel, so I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you, and see you in the next one.